Osteoarthritis. It hurts. Don't get it. Here's what I want to show you. I want to get quickly to the protocols here. We certainly see lots of this. There's primary and secondary. It can be, of course, associated with increasing age. We do not recommend aging. It's not a recommended thing. It tends to hurt. Body parts sag. Things grow. Warts grow. We don't recommend having a family either. Families are notorious causes of many problems. We'd recommend getting rid of them. If you're obese, obviously, I love it when this happens. Guy gets on my table. Now, I use the activator table. The weight limit for this table is 275 or 280. So here comes a new patient. He's 380. So he walked in the room, and my patient began to cry and move. I mean, my table. So I can't even put him on the table. I have to put the table down and let him climb up. And we can still do it, oddly enough. You know, sometimes the bigger the booty, the better activator works. It's just amazing. But I get him on there, and as we climbed him off the table, he's got low back pain. How strange. And as he's getting off the table, he said, "Doc, I've been thinking." He said, "You think my weight could have anything to do with the low back pain?" I said, "Well, you know, I'm going to have to check on that." It's an interesting concept. I said, "Let's look at a lateral view of the lumbar spine and see how L3, the normal apex of the curvature, yours is dragged down to the dirt by the two extra people you're carrying. That could impact, could cause imbrication of the lumbar facets here." So we went through it, and of course, I'm having fun with this and teaching him. And he said, "So you think I ought to maybe lose weight? Could that help?" I said, "Well, you know, it's worth experimenting. Let's give that a try." And what I was trying to do was let that become his idea. Because once it was his idea, this discovery, then he'll do it, right? If I told him, it's just another lecture, another stupid doctor telling him, lose weight. You know, you're fat, lose weight. That isn't what does it. That's never what motivates anybody. There's nobody overweight who doesn't know it. Okay? I got 40 pounds to lose. I know it every time I get up in the morning. And I try to will it away. And my wife tells me it isn't working. All right. Major trauma. We recommend only minor trauma. History of inflammatory joint disease, metabolic disorders, hemochromatosis, calcium pyrophosphate deposition, acromegaly. We'll see a few of these. We don't largely get them in. Congenital bone disorders and certain occupations. Baseball players, Go Tigers, ballet dancers, and dock workers. It's especially problematic if they're all the same person. I'm in San Francisco area. I get this. A dock worker wearing a tutu? Come on. You have to live where I live. All right, signs and symptoms, morning stiffness. Now, you might just be happy, excited, or have osteoarthritis. Or stiffness after inactivity for less than 15 minutes. Okay, how many of you, this is me now, how many of you will admit that occasionally now, sitting for a long time, you go to get up, and there's a hitch in your giddy up? Huh? It's right here. It's right at the trochanters. And so what you do is you act like, "Oh, I'm not sure if I want to get up. I'll just sit down. Well, maybe I'll get up. Maybe I won't." In fact, ow! Then you go ahead and get up, and then you're fine. That can be the first sign of something going on. And I'll ask the patient, if you sit or if you put an arm, if you're driving and you have an arm up here and it's been a length of time, do you feel shoulder pain when you go to move it? That's what we're asking. Joint pain could be worsened by movement, could be made better by movement. Soft tissue swelling, bony crepitus. Ever go to check range of motion on a shoulder? And it's making so much noise that you want to just rip it straight up. You think, you know, there's a fast way to do this. Rip! Let's just tear through everything. We got to tear it up anyway. Bony hypertrophy, the Hebridean's nodules, limited range of motion, the medical subluxation, incomplete dislocation. All right. Differential. Look at all the stuff we have to think about. This could scare somebody out of practice. Got to rule out rheumatoid, septic arthritis, claudication, bursitis, neuropathy, osteoporosis, metastatic bone disease, gout, and so forth. And often these things are in their history. So it's a little bit of all kinds of stuff they've already dealt with. The physical exam, well, we see enough of this. I'm going to get to the x-rays because labs, what am I going to do labs for? With the arthritic, why am I doing the lab mostly? Rule out everything. Urinalysis, chem panel, so we can do all the routine stuff and you may have expanded rights here, but it's becoming a problem in California. All right, let's look at the x-rays because what you see here, imaging, blah, 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 all right. Taking a look here tells me a practitioner's view of the human body. There are two things you can see here. One is perfect, beautiful adaptation, and the other is pathology. Well, some see pathology, and that's why they're so busy in hospitals and all kinds of other places. But I see perfect adaptation. Look, no attempt to fuse the joint. Gotta fuse it for whatever reason. Been fusing this one, but this one is okay. This is intact. You see, I see marvelous adaptation. And I've got x-rays in my office of a body attempting to fuse. We begin to just do what we normally do on a patient, adjusting that spine. And a year later, there's no fusion there. The body said, "Thank you. Joint motion returned to normal. We don't need to lose this one. We were going to the way it was, but now we're not." So I've presented that to orthopedic surgeons that I know, and they said, no, that's not possible. And I said, oh, I understand. It is not possible in your office. I completely agree. It is not possible in your office, but it's common in our offices. Oh, you guys, yeah, I'll see you when it's you, won't I? Don't you love it when they come in as patients? Just as we would go to them if we need. Come on. Ah, well. DJD of the hip, so what's my concern? If I'm seeing the eburnation here, what do I want to see? The other side, it's probably the same. So we see this body beginning to go downhill. I've always thought it was good to have a joint space. Just helps. Seen a lot of knee replacements, and I've had many patients where they're bone on bone. What do you tell the patient who's bone on bone? I recommend you get a knee. Having a knee joint is a good thing. How far has knee surgery come, knee replacement? Yeah, big improvement. And so patients do really well. How long do they last? 15. Now I'm hearing 15. Now they're pushing 15 to 20. So this is an elderly patient, just had one. She finally, and even I was encouraging, look, I can't adjust cartilage back into existence. There's nothing there. And she got it done bilateral, and now she's mad at me because I didn't make her do this years earlier. I've been telling you for 5 years, would you go get some knees? And she's doing very well. And so what if she's in her late 70s? She said, I'm going to die before these things. I said, yeah, in fact, I want them when you're done. The Heberden's nodules, she considers them a rental. Okay. Dr. Pickerel, Dr. Lee again talking. You know what? There's not enough time. He's talking about what we need to do for bone. And the point he's making is the prime product that he made for bone was calcifood, calcifood powder, and calcifood wafers. And remember in the bone seminar, we talked at length about why if you had to do only one thing for osteoarthritis, osteoporosis, osteopenia, it's calcifood. Either the powder, a tablespoon per day gives you 600 milligrams of calcium. That is plenty as a supplement. Remember, we need a gram a day. So if this person, whoever it is doing a tablespoon per day and eating any reasonable diet, they've got adequate calcium. And if not, what if I don't trust their diet? Then what do I give them? 2 tablespoons per day. All right, I don't like to do that because that's replacement. I want them to eat right, but it will work. All right, this is interesting. Raw protein and nuts. I might say that the protein components of bone is a special pattern of amino acids which can only be obtained from raw food. One of our reasons for so much dental disease is the universal practice of cooking our foods. Now, Lee was not opposed to all cooking, but it was mostly overcooking. What is cooking? Ultimately, at the street level, what is cooking? It's pre-digestion. That's all cooking is pre-digestion. But the problem is we do what? We over-digest. We eat it out there in the frying pan and then throw it into the body. The body sometimes is seeing what it considers now almost residue and says, what am I going to do with this? So overcooking. Well, how many of you like your steaks and will admit to actually preferring, even if you don't do it, you prefer that your steaks be well done? Who will admit to that? I used to, but I don't now. All right? What would be the ideal way to eat the steak? Raw. I don't agree eating it raw because many of us lack the digestive enzymes to break that down and process it. So I find most people don't handle raw very well at all. Maybe at one time, but not now. So then what do you think?
Medium rare
or less, somewhere around there. I can eat a steak that my wife prefers, but I don't like it. I can't eat Donna's steak. Donna, the animal. Donna, the carnivore. I've seen her attack cows on the side of the road. You look good. And Mark likes his bloody rare. And I can eat it, but I don't like it. I can't eat it bloody. So I like it. I'll tell him I want it a warm pink center. I don't want it gray. That just looks like a dead thing. And I don't want it red, so I want pink. In fact, chartreuse. So we'll go through the shades of pink that I might like. And I have this debate all the time. And I've had to train myself because I grew up, I would not eat meat unless it was well done. So I may have been, as a kid, amino acid deficient because some of those amino acids, lysine, methionine, or heat labile, they're gone. And many of our elderly patients overcook meats. Why? Because they say, I can't digest them or I can't chew, and they don't realize they're defeating their own purpose. So we have to try to educate them. So I think even though it looks like he was downing all cooking, in the gestalt of everything he said, it was just overcooking. We get very little raw protein. Now watch. If I have a steak that's medium rare or rare, there is still the raw factor there. It's not all destroyed. The part in the center is giving me the best of both worlds. If we could learn to use more uncooked nuts, for instance, peanuts, and I do think the real eco-terrorists in this country are the peanut people on my airplanes. Yeah, we shouldn't scan for explosives. We should look for people with peanut allergies and ban them from flying. Get off my damn plane. Because of you, what do I get as a snack? Pretzels. So I bring my own peanuts. And in fact, I spray my whole body with peanut dust before I get on the plane. I like to walk up and down the aisle and see who sneezes pastas. You, out of here. You, out of here. Get out of here. Peanuts are very delicious if we prepare them properly. Who likes peanuts here? Look at you. Look at you. No peanut allergies here. If we grind them or flake them and make a sandwich filler with a little real Thousand Island dressing, he's not talking about the sugar-laden crap that we have today, that doesn't contain refined oils, we can make some very tasty foods out of raw nuts. I used to eat raw peanuts as a kid. For some reason, Mom always provided those, and I loved them, but then we stopped. Nuts have gotten in the doghouse, as it were, nutritionally, because of the universal practice of roasting them. Well, roasted nuts are quite indigestible. I can't agree with them there. I certainly would agree they're less digestible. I have some patients who can't handle raw nuts, but they can eat them when roasted. So I think I would prefer to be middle of the road. Maximum nutrient delivery, raw nuts. But if the patient can't process them and won't eat them, then I'd rather have them be roasted. He was finding, and I think he went too far. The fats tend to turn rancid in a hurry. That depends on how it's done. Now, you can roast your own. You can get raw nuts and roast them nicely yourself and kind of get them medium rare. Medium rare nuts. That sounds like it would hurt, but I'm... The bad reputation of nuts is merely due to our failure to get them the way nature intended that we should. Roasted peanuts are very poisonous to monkeys. I recall one monkey establishment in South Florida, which was actually the capital, where they will throw out any visitor who feeds their monkeys roasted peanuts. It's an expensive thing to feed a monkey, 60%. All right, so, patients will say, well, should the nuts be roasted or raw? I tell them, to start, I'd like it if you did about half and half. If you like them raw and can eat them, then by all means do. But if you don't, I'm running through an airport, okay, like the afternoon. What if I don't have time to eat? I'm running through and I'm starving. Now, I could just fast because I'm in ketosis. I'm just hungry, but nothing's going to happen. But what if all I can find is a bag of Planters peanuts? I'm going to grab six of them and run, all right, because I'm just going to do it, all right? At home, I've got big bags of raw almonds and all kinds of things, but I'm at an airport. What have I got? It's either a hot dog or the peanuts. What would you prefer? I'm going for the peanuts on top of the hot dog. All right. No bun. Oh, no bun, no bun. I never cheat with the bun. And sometimes I'll have three French fries. I am that disciplined about this. I will allow myself three French fries of moderate length. Huh?
Gotta see that potato.
See that potato. All right, so for osteoarthritis, certainly Catalan, Calcifood, a tablespoon or six wafers. How many use the wafers? I love the wafers. You like them? Aren't they good? They have a less sort of a nutty, sweat socky taste. If you haven't tried the Calcifood wafers, they're really good. Six wafers is equal to one tablespoon. So if you just do six wafers a day, now you can get anybody to do the wafers. Anybody. Even if they don't like them, they're not bad. Now, there's a little bit of honey. So what does that mean?
Carbs.
And it's about 3/4 of a gram, I think, per wafer. I hate that. That's why I like them. I could actually eat the whole bottle because it's like candy. But six wafers for the elderly woman who won't do the powder, six wafers a day, gives her those 600 milligrams. All right? Betacol. Dr. Lee developed this primarily as an antiarthritic because originally, remember, it contained, and it said on the label, the Wolzon anti-stiffness factor. But after that fell into disrepute because nobody could validate her work, he changed all of that. It no longer contains raw cane sugar or any of that. Rosalind Wolzon said she got her Wolzon factor from four food products. In her original literature, which I have, she didn't say whether she got it from any of them individually or from the group. But it was raw cane sugar, raw cream, kale, soybeans. Those were the four that she mentioned. Raw cane sugar, raw cream, kale, and soybeans. Well, Dr. Lee obviously concluded that she got it from any one of them because what he kept in this product was a specially processed soybean powder with no mention of the Wolzon factor. Well, he really believed that the arthritides were ultimately liver toxicity cases. And so he was working on the liver. The arthritides, he believed, takes you to liver. Now, knowing that, you can't necessarily jump right to liver, and that's our mistake. Well, we're going to do liver detox, and the patient's got shoulder pain. What had you better deal with? Fix the shoulder pain. Work on the pain. So this, again, is where, like I showed last night, I may be objectively driven to the real cause, liver gallbladder, but the patient couldn't care less about that. So I have to work on it on the sly. So I'll include some betacol. I'm going to throw in some glucosamine synergy. That's glucosamine sulfate in a base of pretty much Ligaplex 1 background material. Glucosamine, the book that made it famous was what? The Arthritis Cure. It does work, but it's just one of the proteoglycans that help the body build collagen type 1 fibers on which it will deposit the hydroxyapatite crystals. It works. They shouldn't have to do that very long, but when I give them glucosamine, I tell them that's a minimum of 3 months. At least 3 months. It's 3 to 6 months for that to begin to work. I'm trying to rebuild bone. That is not a quick, short-term use product. I'm either doing it for a while, or I'm not doing it at all. All right, so 3-glucosamine synergy, organically bound minerals for all of the myriad of trace minerals found in kelp and alfalfa. In the bone seminar, we went through many of them. These trace minerals involved in building a healthy bone. And without them, without the green vegetables, that bone is never 100%.
Do you have any rule of thumb for choosing between organically bound and trace?
I actually, between the two, prefer trace minerals because it's everything that organically bound minerals has plus more. Now, not from a quantity standpoint, but from a nutrient standpoint, because trace minerals B12, I don't have it here, is organically bound minerals with buckwheat testicle extract added for delivery. So I actually prefer that, but that's a minor difference. If I'm out of trace minerals, but I have organically bound minerals, I'm fine, because the major things are there. Boswellia, MediHerbs dominant, as we spoke yesterday, anti-inflammatory, and LivTon, MediHerbs liver tonic, works nicely with betacol. All right, Boswellia, but let's think back to the discussion yesterday on pain. So here's the new arthritic case. They got joint pain. I'm the first DC or whatever you are they've been to. They don't know about me. They don't know about nothing, but the drugs aren't working, and they don't want to do that anymore. I may simply do Boswellia and what from yesterday? Salicylic, just to try to help with what? The bobo. I got to let them know I can help you naturally here. Maybe not as well as the drugs, but at least you can function. So I may just jump right to Boswellia with 2 or 4 Salicylic. I'll be adjusting them. How many of you use modalities in the practice? I've got every gadget known to man. God, I've got crap I don't even know what it does. Can anybody relate? And I've always got the latest update to whatever that thing is. I got lasers, schmazers, kryptonite. I got it all. I don't use most of it. I'm always curious. I want to know what can work. My favorite modality for this pain patient for 20 years has been ultrasound used properly. I am an ultrasound magician, but most of us use it like a paintbrush, and I'm always yelling at students, no, 1 inch per second, what are you doing? All right, so I can get dramatic short-term benefit with ultrasound, but I always tell the patient, that's just a Band-Aid. I ain't fixed nothing. I've pumped out the fluid, we've stimulated something, but I need for you to know we can do this without drugs. And they'll get off the table after the adjustment and ultrasound or whatever you do, diathermy or whatever, and you know you can produce dramatic changes. And I'm the one that tells them, this may last just a few hours, it may last to tomorrow, I don't know. But I need for you to understand there are other ways to help with the pain. We're just going to have to work at it consistently. And they're delighted because they didn't think it was possible. So I do this list of things and they say, no way, man. Well, another combination product that many of us have never used, Osterplex. There is a separate brand of that sold around Oscar time called Oscarplex, and it's for the losers. This is 31% betacol, a little fast food to thin the synovial fluid, ease joint motion. Ostrophin, two ways to deliver the bone protomorphogen. Biost is the one most commonly known. I actually don't prefer that. I prefer ostrophin. Biost is just the bone growth factor plus a little manganese, 5 milligrams per tablet. Let's do it differently. To make sure that they get the trace factors for bone, which they may not be getting at all in their crappy diet, Dr. Lee said, let's back off on the protomorphogen content, back off on the manganese down to about 3 milligrams, and add some bone meal. In other words, packing in a little bit of the calcifood effect. That product then is Ostrophin. And I actually, over the years, have found Ostrophin usually works a little better because of the other factors that are there. It's the same protomorphogen, so it's Biost plus bone meal, basically, Ostrophin. You might test for that, knowing that it's really the same. Is it a big difference? If I'm out of Ostrophin, what are they getting? Biost. If I'm out of Biost, what are they getting? Ostrophin. All right? So a little bit of Ostrophin there. Cal-Amo to acidify the joint, which brings calcium back into solution. Cataplex G to facilitate fatty acid metabolism. So Osterplex for the osteoarthritic when they won't do a bunch of bottles. And so often, that's what has sealed the deal. I'm trying to do all these different bottles, and I rarely get a complaint about the number of things they have to swallow. That's usually not the big deal. Oh, they'll whine, but it's the number of bottles. Ow! How am I going to keep track of all these bottles? Well, now you need Neurotrophin and Ginkgo. You ought to shut up. This is just getting worse. You know what I mean. All righty. Okay. Any question on that? That's a lot of stuff. I really would like to do almost all of that. The ones that I could leave out, Boswellia, LivTon. So everything from here up, those are what I would like to do longer term. You might say, well, couldn't I just do Ligaplex 2? Yeah. Couldn't I do Ligaplex 1? Yeah, you could. It's not... With these differences, it's like Sears Good, Better, Best. All the dishes will get washed. It's just what bells and whistles do I need to add. First SP product I ever used was Ligaplex 2. because I was doing only personal injury cases. And a friend told me, because I was wanting to do something for nutrition for them, and a friend said, try Ligaplex 2. I said, what is that? And so he gave me some. I began to give it to patients. Didn't know nothing from nothing. But patients began to report, boy, that stuff you've given me. Well, I'm not wetting the bed anymore. I'm like a sex machine. What is this stuff? So they began to report serendipitous benefits. And that's really what got me examining, who's Royal Lee? Where's Wisconsin? And is there more than beer and cheese? All right.